So go in the booklet, go to page 7. If you didn't get a booklet, there's some on the table like that. I'll start with the invocations on page 7. Page 7 in the pamphlet. Page 7 in the pamphlet, the Guru Yoga pamphlet. You who emanate from the heart of the Savior of the Hundred Devas Joyful Realm, on the peak of a cloud water holder resembling clumps of extremely fresh white curd, the King of Dharma, omniscient Losang Drapa, with your sons, I request you to come to this place. In the sky before me on a lion throne, lotus and moon disc, the perfect pure Lama smiles with delight, supreme field of the merit of mind's devotion, I beg you to abide for 100 eons to increase the teachings. Your holy mind understands the full extent of objects to be known. Your eloquent speech is the ear ornament of the fortunate ones. Your holy body is glowing and glorious with fame. To you who is meaningful to see, hear, and remember, I prostrate. Beautiful drinking water, strange flowers, fragrant incense, light, scented water, and so forth, actually performed and mentally transformed oceans of clouds of offerings, I offer to you the supreme field of merit. Whatever non-virtues of body, speech, and mind, and especially actions opposite to the three vows that I have created from beginningless time, from the bottom of my heart I regret and fervently confess them all individually. In this time of the five degenerations, you strove for many listenings and realizations and made meaningful the perfect human rebirth by renouncing the 8 worldly concerns. And the Savior's extensive deeds, I rejoice sincerely from the depths of my heart. Please, holy, perfect, pure Gurus, from pillar clouds of compassion and wisdom in the sky of Dharmakaya, make rainfall of the profound and extensive teachings of whatever is suitable for the ears of sentient beings who are the objects to be subdued. I dedicate whatever virtues I have ever collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Losang Drapa to shine forever. Now, if you please turn to page 13. In the booklet, and let's see, we'll to ourselves recite the 5-line prayer to Lama Tsongkhapa 20 times, and 21st time let's say it all together.
Love.
turn to page 21, and let's read the second stanza of the dedication. In all my life, to the victorious one, Lama Tsongkhapa, acting in person as a Mahayana guru, never turn aside for even an instant from its path paved by the victorious one. Then you turn to page 97 in the gold book. And at the bottom, there's a short mandala offering, so let's see. See that? Saji Persi.
Good evening. Well, welcome back to Lamdim class. Now, haven't had Lamdim class for how many weeks? The number of weeks just get interrupted Lamdim class. Including myself, all of us, even just hearing the Lamdim, you know, even just able to read Lamdim death, you know, very good. No, it's like so I remember one of the Gandhi Tipa. Gandhi Tipa means Gandhi means the monastery. You know, there's Sarah Devon, Gandhi, the three big Geluk universities, relocated now in India. Sarah Devon Gandhi, the three big universities, no. Actually, it's Lhasa, Central Tibet. So then after 1959, they relocated, reestablished, in not relocated by choice, by force. Anyway, so Gandhian Monastery, Gandhian, actually Gandhian is Tushita, you know, Tushita, Tushita is the real Gandhian. So that monastery named by, name after Tushita, Gandhian. Gandhian is the where where the Maitreya Buddha lives, Maitreya Buddha, future Buddha, that's where lives, no Gandhian, no, that's like Tushita, Tushita realm. So Gandhian Tipa, that's the highest position in Gelugpa traditions. So Gandhian is founded by Lama Tsongkhapa. Lama Tsongkhapa found the Gandhian monastery. Sera, one of the Lama Tsongkhapa main disciples, he found the Sera monastery. So then another disciple found the Devu monastery. You know, these are Lama Tsongkhapa students. So then, sometimes you say Gandhian tradition or Geluk tradition is pretty much same, it's no different way of pronouncing, but Galuk, Geluk, same. It's because Gandhian tradition, the tradition they follow, Lama Tsongkhapa. So Gandhian Tipa, so that's like, in the Tushita realm, there's like throne. There's throne not owned by anybody, no, it's anybody. So anybody can go there to own the throne. To means not to go there. So Gandhian Tipa, so that means like highest position in the Geluk traditions called Gandhian Tipa, actually means like holder of the Gandhian throne in Tushita realms. That is what it means. Gandhian Tipa means holder of the throne in the Tushita realms, Gandhian realms. So one of them, I heard this, one of them, he is going around the Lhasa town, Lhasa. Center Tibet, there's a lot of market, you know, like kind of like flea market here, you know, all outdoor market, a lot of them. So Gandhian Tipa, he's walking around in the town and probably thinking, you know, these people are all day walking, just making money, you know, so all day pretty much focusing on business, all day. So he thought that's kind of sad, so that he's trying to thinking about how to help them. So then he goes around and he asks shopkeeper, do you carry emptiness? Do you carry emptiness? So people have no idea, you know, what he's saying. So I say, do you sell emptiness? So I say, do you sell emptiness? So then people say, what? So, and he say, emptiness. And Tongbanyi say, Tongbanyi, Tongbanyi, Tongyi, 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 means, I say, do you have, Tongyi means like, do you have emptiness? Mainly, you know, referring to, do you sell emptiness? Some people don't understand. Of course, they will ask, they want to sell you something, you know. Even they don't understand, they want to sell you something. So they ask, maybe they were wondering, they ask you, what is emptiness? But then he say a little bit. So then he goes to the next shop, and do you sell emptiness? So, according to their Gandhian Tipa, you know, so now, able to see what emptiness comes, all of this, very good. Just want to share that, okay. If you are very much worried about other people not able to hear Dharma, you can go to Catherine Mall, ask, do you sell emptiness? No, just joking. If some of you out there wondering, you know, like, oh, maybe the old practices I do, maybe my practice not really benefiting my enlightenment or my highest the liberation song. See, there are certain people, they do practice mainly aiming on this life. No, this life. No, so not more, you know, just this life, you know, this life. So this is still practice. See, this is a practice, you know. You're still doing good, you know. So it's not like, doing good, thinking about this life doesn't mean you're not doing good, you're still doing good. See, this is practice. Oh. There's no small scope, middle scope, then I say big scope. Great scope, there's no Chebuchungu. Within the small scope, there's no. Within the small scope, there are two of them. One, probably, is just aiming this light. So then sometimes you see in the Lamdi workers, Dharma, you know. So, see, the Dharma. As I mentioned before, definition of Dharma is from Dharma, there's some that benefits, that helps you to stay away from negative thought, disturbing thought, or maybe challenging disturbing thought. That is Dharma, right? This is Dharma. Whether there's aim to this, just for this life, or, you know, life after this, huh? So that is really Dharma. So that's how you define whether that, you know, your practice becomes Dharma or not. So you define, you has a not define. It defined based on that, you know, whether it becomes Dharma or not. If that becomes, you know, beneficial for you to develop positive thought, so that means when you develop positive thought, then, you know, it will, you know, like reduce negative thought. So that's the Dharma. So maybe if some of you are out there wondering, maybe like concern, you know, maybe all the practice that I do, maybe it's like just creating another cause for samsara. Probably I don't no samsara, no nirvana. No samsara, no samsara, no dharma. What do you think? No samsara, no kadama center. So we come, we all come here, meditate, you know, who's going to pay the bill? So this is all interdependent, you know. So within the samsara, human life, that's good, you know, that's like, this good of this good, you know. So even though you are crazy, of course, you know, so it's not that bad to come back as a human being. You can still benefit, you know. So that's the best form to get enlightened. So anyway, so then, you know, basically we are doing, we all are, whether regardless of, you know, whether you practice or not practice, everybody is thinking about themselves. There's nothing wrong. Even like aiming for enlightenment, you're still thinking of yourself, right? For yourself. Enlightenment is for yourself. But motivation is bigger, you know. It's not just for me. I'm aiming that, you know, for help all living beings, you know. That's, you know, like, that's the best, how is the. So that motivation makes the process more powerful. Actually, for example, Buddha Dhamma Sangha, till I reach enlightenment. In the very beginning, you are taking every Buddha Dhamma Sangha to reach enlightenment and helping yourself. There's nothing wrong. So, we have to help ourselves. We have to help, you know. So, on the same thing that has the what the Robert Thomas says, enlightened self interest. That's exactly what it is. Enlightened self interest. Enlightened self stress. Enlightened self interest. Interest. So anyway, should not, you know, concern, should not worry, you know, so that we have to help. We have to, of course, you know, there's nothing wrong doing something for yourself. So then, you know, the motivating that doing something for yourself, for the bigger purpose to benefit all sentient beings. So then, that whatever manner you created, that becomes the cause for enlightenment. Oh, see. So then, you know, the nirvana is saying this basically all for yourself. It's all for yourself. No, I just want to share. No, if you want there. Then, where we stop? Chukla, alhamdulillah.
How
are you dying? Oh, okay. This is interesting. Right now, just hearing or reading part of the Lamrim, that will, you know, has opened your mind about, you know, death and the cause of death and how to take rebirth, all of that. And it's very good. The cause of death. Chiva sin as a so what Chiva sin is like the mind time of death. What how you say it in?
The mind at death.
Mind at death. Mind at Chiva sin. Chiva sin.
We're on page 307.
Chiva sin cause of no cause of death. Chiva sin mind at death. Where the heat has where heat
gathers.
Where heat gathers, gathers or dissolves. Chine Pato Tulu. How the see, my English is very, very poor. Chine Pato Tulu. I could put more effort, but I didn't put any effort. could put more effort. Chine Father Dulu, Chine, how the intermediate state, Father Dulu, the explanation about the part after death, something like that. So just please look at the better English, okay? So then after the pardo, you know, like maximum lifespan of pardo is 49 days. Therefore, you know, in like, I'm not sure about the other Buddhist tradition, but Tibetan Buddhist traditions, so that every week is, you know, every week that you light up candles, then you say prayers, you know. If you don't know any prayer, then just say mani mantra, just recite mani mantras, you know. So then we did, it's not just one day memorial service, it goes on 49 days. So then after that, 1 year anniversary, you know, then they do like big, mainly offering, making offering to the monastery, so then asking the monastery to read some prayer on behalf of the late persons. So then, in our traditions, the people take that quite seriously. So then after that, what they do, they also make called cheta, means sign a birth. So people make statues, tankas on behalf of the dead persons. You can make now, you know, so you don't have to be dead. You can make now your own sign of birth. So that's usually, you know, done based on your chart. Chart. There's somebody knows the astrology, look at your chart. So then based on that, so then they ignore. So then I don't think that necessary. You can just make any statues, no, I think. So so then they're trying to finish that sign of birth before 49 days. They put every effort to, no, before 49 days, they try to make it finish. So then I've been sending from the central member, you know, I've been sending people to the Vietnamese family to make statue because that's what they're making 1,000 Buddha. So I usually send them and give them advice to go there to, you know, to make statue and put the name inside. Also can probably do for animal too, you know, so pet. Can be done like that. So, today, Kavali, so somehow it benefits that, somehow that like holy image, you know, benefits their transition. So then within the 7 weeks, the fourth week is critical. So they consider it's a fourth week, they consider as kind of critical, because most likely they will take rebirth. No, fourth week is considered then, because they increase number of prayer, they increase offering like that. No, they do it a little bit elaborately. They do the week fourth. I think it's week fourth. So could be a mistake, but it's called, I'm pretty sure it's week fourth. Oh. So I think I will read this, right? A little bit. So now, like, so when you look at the Tibetan English dictionary, this translation is sok, the translation is soul, which is not correct translation. So there's something that keeps you alive. Keep you alive. What do you call, like a
life force?
Life force, okay. Life force. So okay. There's life force is life. Okay. Che means life. Che means life. Life force is life. What is life force? This question has been raised, I think, in Abhidharma Kosha. Written by Vasubandhu, you know, I think it's already translated in English. Chapter number 3, you know, probably there, chapter number 3 or maybe 8, I'm not sure, or one of those chapters. So means change. So means life force is life. Life force, because in Tibetan words, there's two different words. So, that's life force. Che, that's life. So means change, means life force is life. So that's the Abhidharma Kosha's word, I'm just quoting. That's like the root. That's Abhidharma Kosha, the word. So ni change. Tretani, nothing to remember, Tretani. So then that life is dependent on heat and consciousness. Not both, but you know, how you say? Dependent on either consciousness or heat. That's right? Yeah. Because formless realm, there are beings, but there's no form, therefore there's no heat. See, to include the formless realm, therefore you say life force is life, that life is dependent on either consciousness or heat. So form realm, of course, for both, desire realm for both, but formless realm, there's no heat. Heat is form, some kind of, heat is, so you have to have form. That, without form, there will be no heat. And this space has no heat. There's heat there. What do you think? That's coming from form. You heard that from air conditioning or heat or whatever. Same means, you know, the life force, life is finished. Life force finished, you know, then people die. And then, so this, you know, whole this, I'm not sure, the astrology, there's two different types of astrologies, you know, that been practiced in Tibet thousands of years. Used to be very precise. So I don't know much about astrology. I tried to learn when I was doing my 1 year course. Jimmy, I tried to learn, but it got kind of complicated. Then I lost my interest. But according to astrology used to be very precise. You know, they can even count. Through the calculation, they can tell you how many fruits on the tree and how many they are ripened, how many they are not ripened. They can tell exactly you know, so they calculate, they tell, used to be very precise, even like checking pulse, all of this, you know, checking pulse. You don't have to touch person. If you touch their belt, you can tell, just touching their belt. Some cases, you know, the people could not move, so they send their belt or clothes, then the physician will touch their clothes, can tell person the pulse. It used to be quite precise, so then, and of course, you know, everything is deteriorated. Culture, tradition, practice, all of that, you know, deteriorated a little bit here, there. So anyway, so it will come in the chart, you know, so when you write after, into our traditions, the minute after the person passed away, we go to astrology to look at the chart where the body should be faced, like east, west, north, south, this all kind of complication. So then when the body should be taken out, no, there's no, you have to cremate it because there's no cremations. Then what you go here, the place you go?
Crematorium.
Crematorium, then like that, we don't have anything like this. You're on your own. You are really on your own. Oh, so then there's no, so then you basically keep. So then, the chart, and there's so all kinds of things come in the chart. So then people go there, and then in chart, then they say, you know, what type of rebirth the person going to take, and like whether the person's life is over, or maybe it's like causes by like as an untimely death, or they all tell, you know, like that. So, one of the BBC broadcasters, he travels all over the world to interview people. Somehow he ended in Dharamsala, in the school where they teach astrology, Tibetan astrologists, you know, there's a lot of them, they're studying Tibetan astrologists. So he's very curious, that's what he does every country he goes. He went to look his chart. So then, you know, so there's a young person, the lay person, then next day, takes like 24 hours to figure it out. So next day he went. So the person said, oh, your previous life is elephant. So then he was said, I'm not sure whether he believe or not, so out of curiosity. So then he got as a private audience with His Holiness Dalai Lama. So His Holiness, then he told His Holiness, you know, Tibetan people, when they get in front of His Holiness, they can hardly say any word because they are all, I'm not sure what they call, like, Or? What is that?
That's like, so great that they can hardly.
Yeah, so like, so powerful you can, you know, even say, even something, you have to have something to say, but you know, anyway, so Western, you know, I think, you know, so they're straight. So I told His Holiness that, he's asked His Holiness, says, okay, you're one of your astrologists. Told me my previous life is elephant, what do you think? He's always asking, he didn't answer, he didn't answer his questions. So then I was laughing. So then somehow he ended up in Thailand, somewhere in Thailand, where they, you know, like the tourist site, where you can go to see the elephant, the bad elephant. So he's bathing one elephant, then he's telling him, okay, don't worry, you are going to be BBC broadcaster. I was really laughing, it's kind of funny. So there's no need to worry, so you are going to be BBC broadcaster, will make pretty good money. So see, you know, I have to say, so I don't know. So just, you know, anyway, so lifespan, you know, in the chart, you know, it will show, you know, they'll tell you something. If you go to them, they will tell you something. So, session is chivade. Then, when you lay the chidap on the chat, I'm just saying the chivade, to love on the chivahos. That is not considered as untimely death. That's because life force is completely exhausted. Throwing karma, then you know, the karma, they throw the bodies, and you know, the bodies, all the life force, everything, you know, determined by karma. Then they just want to, so long as they achieve us. don't understand it. Sometimes people die, you know, because there's not enough merit. There's not enough merit, but the lifespan is not over, not exhausted yet. But there's not enough merit. I'm not sure how to say in Western culture. I don't know how you say. No, that's just one of the rituals. What happened, if there's not enough merit, then there will be a lot of challenge. The person will face a lot of difficulties finding a food, finding shelter, finding treatment. Even they find treatment they're like all kinds of, you know, like see. Now you see some part of the world, you know, born as a human, but not having so much challenge, you know, like basic necessity, you know, like not able to find the food. And a very young age, in a very young age, around 2-3, end up, you know, digging the garbage all over the place. So in India, so in the train stations, you see this, you know, little kids running around begging. So then, you know, people die, so because there's not enough merit. Death because there's no lack of basic necessities. Young our mama mechivaje. So then, you know, people die not being mindful. Not being mindful towards dangerous. How death sounds in English?
Death. There's also death from failure to avoid danger.
So then, should I read? It's all said in English, so there's nothing to it. What I should do? Read? Rejoice suggests me to flip the page. How many?
There's also death from failure to avoid danger, in regard to which the sutras list 9 causes and conditions for premature death. Overeating, eating something indigestible. Something indigestible, eating without having digested the previous meal, failing to...
That's a little bit complicated. What does that mean?
You had breakfast and then you had lunch right away.
Really? I don't think anybody eats like that. People do talk about, right after finishing breakfast, people do talk about lunch. Not just that, also people do talk about the next day meals. So particularly, especially when they travel. So I don't think that... what is brunch?
Brunch is lunch and breakfast and lunch together. Yeah.
No, there's brunch. There's the brunch. We don't have brunch in Tibet. And there's no... they don't talk about brunch. Brunch, so there'll be no brunch. There'll be breakfast because you have to wake up. Otherwise, nothing going to be accomplished if you don't. So, it's kind of interesting. The Sherpa people, they eat 4 times a day. You know, so they eat 4 o'clock, they eat something. I think Tibetan, they eat something because they have a lot of, you know, like, doing a lot of work in the fields. So they eat. So when I went to visit my aunt, so they are feeding me 4 times a day. I say, can eat at 4 o'clock and I can eat. So anyway, here the kaze chu misimba sa means overeating. Not overeating kaze. Did you heard about this? Like sixth treasure of Arya being. So there's one of them is not to be mindful about food. To mindful about the portion of the food, be mindful of the portion of the food. Or probably maybe eight. I think it's not six, it's eight. Eight treasure of Arya being something like that. So one of them is called the Timisabasavad. Then, from the police, can you kind of read then?
Okay, let's see. Failing to expel undigested food that has accumulated in the stomach, intestinal obstruction.
This is all word I don't understand. Sorry. So, Mithyabhasa, eating something that's not as suitable for your immune system, your body, your health. So, like, Mithyabhasa means, you know, oh, I feel good, you know, eating this food, I feel good. I feel good about drinking. I feel good, I'm not sure, it's not feel good, so. Oh, maybe it's feel good, not feel happy, but feel good. I feel good about drinking as a broccoli soup. Not broccoli soup. Not necessarily I'm happy to drink, but I feel great that I drink broccoli soup. So, but at the same time, I'm not quite happy. So there's no, that is like, as a term is just like as a, sometimes when you go to some other country, you know, so weather, because the weather complicated, say, oh, I'm not doing great there, so I say, I'm kind of getting sick, you know, because the weather. Term is, oh, yeah, it doesn't suit, yeah, it's not suitable. The place is not suitable because too much heat there, or maybe too very cold, it's not suitable. Oh, so now I can tell because the place is very suit for you. Well suited for you. The term just like suited. Some food is suited. Well suited, some food is not well suited. So if you eat non well suited food, then you know, that's one mithyabhasa sava. The same is in the same similar. The same as this, what it says?
Oh, let's see. Eating without having digested the feeling to expel the undigested food?
No.
Oh, eating something indigestible.
No,
eating without having digested the previous meal, failing to expel undigested food that has accumulated in the stomach.
So that's pretty much happening in the monastery because there's no. So it's like quite amazing when we come to the West, people eat, you know, talk, and eat like probably like, takes a couple of hours. Not every person, but generally speaking, when they, you know, they really sit and talk. So that's not part of the tradition there, you know, you just eat within 15 minutes, finish. So here it was like more like, how you say, social. There it's like every day, there's nothing, it's not social, it's like every day. That's what you do, eat all with the family together. It's not like social, there's nothing really social, you just eat, you know, you're hungry. So the monastery, you know, there are certain times that you have to finish your meals. So that's probably happening in the monastery, not as a.
Oh, failing to expel undigested food that has accumulated in the stomach.
Maybe there must be a difference. Like a long time ago, I went to see one like acupuncturist, like a Korean guy. So he asked me how many times I chew my food. I said, I don't know. Maybe more than time, probably not. Maybe one, you know. So, so then he said, you have to chew your food like 40 times. So I don't know. So I don't know. So maybe, you know, like So there is Prabhupada's people there that who knows of who's expert, because in this country you have expert for everything, you know. So that's quite amazing. So yeah, of course there'll be expert about eating too. So Maju what thoughts about Jima Mijavasatini?
Intestinal obstruction, not relying on specific medicines for specific illnesses.
Mm. So these are not that important. What do you think? This is not important. You understand that?
Failing to understand the distinction between accustomed and unaccustomed activities. What is that?
Huh? Not knowing that you are familiar or not familiar. Probably like this, you know. If you are not familiar with certain things, you know, so then there's a big risk involved, you know, if you are not familiar what how to do. Not knowing whether you are familiar or not familiar. So then you saw, okay, somebody just jumping from the window. So this kind of fun thing to do, isn't it? Break neck. So there's not being, not knowing the things that you want to do, not knowing the whether you are familiar or not familiar. Well, that's what it is, okay?
Untimely death, that is accidental death.
Going untimely, going is like going at night or maybe like so no risky place, something like that.
And engaging in sexual intercourse.
So then now the dead mind?
Yes, the mind at death.
The mind of death seems that this is important now. These nine things probably here in the West, you are more, I say, expert. When it comes down to health, you know much better. Tibetan people are not qualified to talk about health. So you know, because you only been to Canada, you only been to Tibet, so you know. So like there's no health, you know, so therefore. Yeah, so this is like very much well known when it comes down to health. The Western people have more educated, so then you need to do what is necessary to keep your life healthy, exercise, so. So now this one is important.
Dying with a virtuous mind.
What is that mind that was for can it begin like it has three? What is the nibba? Second?
Oh, dying with a non virtuous mind and dying with an ethically neutral mind.
Divided for what?
From the mind at death.
Mind at death.
Yes.
Mind at death. So this is important, mind that the children some give us the material, no? Dying with virtuous mind. Dying with a virtuous mind. Rangi temba machine tend to chuba wrong day, so tabala so they gave it chi dishi rawa ju part of the same la kunda chuba watch. So it's good to know if you are like, how you say, if you are doing hospice work. So this is important. So that when we are encountering somebody, you know, slowly dying, so we must try to make that person's mind calm and peaceful, whatever ways, okay? So should not disturb that person's mind. So then crying, you know, in front of that person probably is not a good idea, you know, crying, then, you know, all the relatives get to, all the family get together crying, there, you know, probably it's like, you know, it makes that person hurt, because that person will, that person don't want to live, you know, so, so whatever ways, you know, like, whatever doesn't have to, don't just think, okay, I have to say some prayer, you know. So you can, the goal is to make the, some kind of virtuous mind, okay, feeling good, oh, that's true, you know, I did this, I did that, you know, like, or like raising all the, whatever, like ways that you can, you know, say something. Tibetan people may say, oh, the, His Holiness is right there, can you see, something like that, you know, even though it's not really true, but, or maybe if that person is familiar with some prayer, some practice, then it's much more easier. You can just say that prayer, practice, then people mind, people, that person will catch, follow right away, catch up right away. Other than that, you know, point is to help to think something good, something positive. Okay, that's quite important. So if you are not, if you are like doing hospice, Tevalosu Gives Givechi Dij Rabba Junior Parasim Lakunda Jiva Hoshe. Gewada Migewa Chiva Kansa Kansa Chiva Nija. Gewada Migewa Chiva Rangi Tema Shin Tema Chija Runde. Nem Mang do Komba Chabate, Cheto Chima Jude Ti, Sentela, Shua Juwala Shini, Jevon Juras. So therefore, even just as mentioned, even just saying money mantra or money pim or money pim doesn't have to be complicated. Okay, does not have to be complicated. Even just Om Mani Padme Hum, you know. So, but familiarization is critical, is important. So, you can ask that person who is dying, ask them to do something that person has never been familiar, never heard before. It's not going to benefit. Practically, it's hard. Person may not get benefit, you know. So if saying few mantra, of course, you know, hearing mantra will benefit, but really benefit. So if that person is familiar, so therefore, now, you know, while we are alive, so it's quite important to make you familiar with something, you know. Doesn't have to be complicated. You can just say Tara mantra, you know, money mantra, simple as that, you know. So don't ever please think, oh, this is so easy, maybe I don't think there will be much merit. Yeah. So I'm going to translate the benefit of reciting Mani Mantra, you know, with Chukila, maybe after 1 year. No, that's soon. I received the, about the Mani Mantra, I just received, like last month, received the textbook like this. It has like, probably looked like 3,000 pages. It'll take me a long time to read. It's all about Mani Mantra, that's like long, back and forth like this, 3,000. Who taught that? Not a monk or nun. Who taught that? It's taught by one of the king, Tibetan king, Sanzen Kompo. Dharma king, you know. Sanzen Kompo king, that's the who invented this, I say, 16 guideline that's invented by that king, Sanzen Kompo. He wrote about money. So that's why in Tibet, you know, everybody says Mani Mantra, everybody says Mani Mantra. So you'll probably not find one person, I'm not talking about the West, but in Tibet, every person will know this Mani Mantra, even a child knows, but we don't have this class to call them, teach them, not like it's just by hearing from parents, they do all the time, so they just learn by hearing. Doesn't have to be complicated, something can be something very easy. Or can be just refuge and put it in a prayer, that's all. Can be, you know. So, don't think that I don't have will to teach you, but I have will to teach you whatever practice you want to learn. But what Kundan Lama said, okay, maybe we may finish this life touching or maybe something higher, or maybe Gya Samaja Tantra, or maybe higher Givat, or Kala Chakratan, all of that, you know. When you think precisely, this all requires foundations. So many things could go wrong. Right from the beginning, so many things could go wrong. I didn't make this up, like one of the Kadama masters said, then, you know, refuge and Buddhist prayer, the Lama said, you know, become very handy when you're desperate. When you're desperate, what could go wrong? Nothing. That's how he said. I take every Buddha Dhamma Sangha, what could go wrong? But you know, so there's also requires some understandings, you know, to reason to take refuge, you know, some understanding to recall, to remember the two main cause of refuge. You know. So if you, as I say, if you feel, oh, saying refuge in Buddha in the prayer is very liberating. So then, you know, you that's very good, that's very good. So it can be just, you know, saying Mani Mantra. See, Lama Adisha was very sick. So when he asked Tara what can be done, Tara suggests Lama Adisha to say 21,000 phrases. Lama Adisha knows every practice that exists in Buddhism. He knows them, not just know them, he knows them very well. He's the one who can do them perfectly well. Why Tara suggests Lama Adisha just say 21,000 phrases, you know? Because there's something else. See, so Mani Mantra, so, and a lot of benefits, so much benefit, you know, just so easy on Mani Pimeo. You know, so very little things could go wrong. There's complete form of merit on Mani Pimeo, just saying one mantra. Blowing the water, drinking that, you know, somebody putting in the creek, you know, so like, it's all a lot of benefit, okay? Doesn't have to be very complicated. Something simple, something doable. Now make familiar, you know. So at the end, somebody says, oh, Mani Padme Hum. That's all you need. Then anything, you know. So then you may die just thinking about oh, Mani Padme Hum, or maybe saying in the mind. That's what it means, dying with a virtuous mind. That's what it means. Oh. Gewada mi gewa chile kanzaa ki chiwa rangi tenpa hama shenji tenpa chile rungde che uye le mangto kumbha chepa te che tobe tenpa judez ti ye sem te la shuwa chile sheni jeba juroz can you read please I already explained that can you read that la samula
those who die with virtuous minds whether through remembering on their own or through being reminded by others turn their minds to virtues such as faith for as long as coarse discrimination, ordinary types of consciousness remains.
The virtuous mind, that's critical. That's like death resolution practice. Well, don't worry, I don't remember them, I don't know them, you know. No need to worry, you know, if you just remember Mani Mantra. Because what happened, death. So many seeds on the consciousness, there are so many seeds. That's the last moment, it's very critical. If you die with a virtuous mind, positive karma will ripen, guaranteed. There's no doubt. Positive karma will ripen. Huh? So, therefore, the time of death is a virtuous mind, that's very important. Huh? Don't think, okay, I don't know all the death decision practice, I'm not sure about my death. No. A virtuous mind, that's more important. Virtuous mind.
In the case of death, for those who have cultivated either virtue or non-virtue unequally, they either remember on their own or are reminded by others what they have become accustomed to do repeatedly in the past, and this becomes extremely powerful.
Because you are familiar, you know? You are familiar, very familiar with that. Mila Rebba make a lot of wishes. No, Mila Rebba is one of the famous practitioners there in Tibet, you know, who got enlightened within various life. So, what he said, so if I die in this cemetery, see, I'm not sure it's cemetery or not, if I die in the cemetery, it's like the practitioner, my wish will be fulfilled if there's no people crying after my death, or if there's nobody circling around my body. If I die like that, then my, as a me practitioner, my wish will be fulfilled. See, there's many of them living the poor liberation from your hands. You'll find here there's no one. So then, is the keep on dying, mother. When he's doing well, he don't want his friend or relative to know that he's doing well. When he's not doing well, he don't want his family, relative, friend to know that he's not doing well. When he's doing very well, he don't want the person who don't like him, what's called enemy, he don't want them to know that he's doing very well. So there'll be a lot of complications, you know. In samsara, overall, you know, there's a lot of complications. So then, you know, these things will bring more complications. So that he makes a couple of wishes. So I come to read a little bit here. Then, he same tells show and the same. Nigala tumba kumani tambo kana tamba dawa mijude same same to mijuko. So now, if you are equally familiar with, you know, positive thought or something positive or something, if you are equally like familiar, then which one you think first, then mind follow that. So now you see the people there, like near that experience, they talk about the light into the tunnel. So now see here, like as a Gevacheva, can you read Lamala?
Those who have cultivated virtue seem to pass from darkness into light.
Before that, okay.
Their minds then become absorbed in this and forget all else. If they're equally familiar with both virtue and non-virtue, then they cannot stop remembering what they remember first and cannot engage their minds in anything else.
So then the virtues who, like, then after that, please can read again. After that.
Those who have cultivated virtue seem to pass from darkness into light.
I think that's what it means, you know, talking about into the light, into the tunnel, when they're near that experience. So they say, oh, wonderful, nothing to be afraid, you know. Yeah, of course, you know. If you can die with a virtuous mind, that's going to happen. It's like you're seeing, you know, it's not... don't think, oh, it's only happened to some people, it's not going to happen to me because I'm not there kind of person. No. Don't think like that. Virtuous mind in the time of death. So then, you know, there'll be, you see the light.
As they die, various pleasant and attractive images appear as though in a dream.
Kaza, can you say again?
As they die, various pleasant and attractive images appear as though in a dream. They die comfortably, and at the point of death, intense feelings of suffering do not arise in their bodies. For those who are currently doing what is right, the final agony of death is minimal.
So this is all the benefit of, you know, dying with a positive thought, okay? The second one.
Dying with a non-virtuous mind.
Yeah.
those who die with non-virtuous minds, whether through remembering on their own or through being reminded by others, remember non-virtue, such as attachment, for as long as coarse discrimination remains.
Now here this lady talking about the death realization process where how the mind dissolves.
At the point of death, they experience intense physical pain. When those who are currently cultivating non-virtue die, they experience signs foretelling the effects of the non-virtue they have engaged in.
So the bottom line is to make sure that we don't die with non-virtuous mind. Okay, that's very important. So then we'll jump the next one. the neutral one. The point that when you summarize, don't die with negative mind. That's all. No need to know everything in details. So the second one, rheumatic sentimental.
Dying with an ethically neutral mind. Those who are currently cultivating neither virtue nor non-virtue, or who have done neither, do not remember virtue and non-virtue, either on their own or at the urging of others. At death, they have neither pain nor pleasure.
So that's neutral mind. Because of the anything to say? Any questions? Never mind. Otherwise, we'll move one more.
But the next paragraph is really interesting. It says, when you die with a virtuous mind, it lasts as long as there is coarse discrimination, but once subtle discrimination is activated, the virtuous mind stops and becomes an ethically neutral mind.
In the end, so this is all like, there's like a period, the death resolutions. Certain period, we are aware, the mind is awake. The certain period, it's going to be completely dark because, that's what they're talking about. So then it will be no positive, no negative, it will be as a. The seed is already planted. Before the seed is already planted, it's already determined. The rebirth is already determined way before that. Then after that, even the mind becomes neutral. It becomes just neutral, not for the mind. It's like certain point, it is all the mind kind of go completely dark. Dije tamu jive tene geve sem dori luma sem jide. Ti te ngu komba chebe geve ngu jom geva la ya. Tawa minila hini tema da minisa ya. Because there's no active mind. There's nothing to correspond. Everything's kind of like went black. Even though you say something, he's not going to hear because ear consciousness is only dissolved. All these five senses dissolve with all this. There's 25 things that dissolve one after another. dissolve is not like, you know, water dissolve into sand. It's like I become weak, very weak. So then ear become weak. That's what it means, dissolve, you know. It's not like it become weak, and you know, when I just become weak, and that, with that, you know, then form, you know, and everything, and that 25 things become, you know, that's how it dissolve. Then certain point, then there will be no has a, there will be no has a, in medical field, probably say brain is not clinically dead, so there's no functioning. So that's what it means, like, truly neutral. This is new compassion, because way, somewhere before that, rebirth is already determined, rebirth is already, I think, the plant, the seed is already fertilized. So, so Ravina, I remember, asked me, like, how, where the seed has been planted, and it's trying to get a little bit more complicated. There's not like real time, like how long the death resolution will take. How long? There's not really, it's probably varies. No, it's not going to be long, slow, but you know, I don't know. So there's no like timetable. Mm-hmm. There's no. Yeah, it's not like oh, 1 hour or 15 minutes. It's not like that. See, we are compassionate. Does it make clear? Huh? It's clear. Yeah. Oh, you have any question?
Yeah. Huh?
So this rebirth already determines before that. See.
If rebirth is determined before death, what are the prayers for? Conditions and causes, or conditions in the next?
That's a very, very good question, sir. then after that, you know, after that, no matter, everybody will go through Pardo, intermission state. So then every week there's no small death, go through small death. So then during that period, no, whatever prayer that we say, it'll benefit. Make sense? Is it your question?
It's not directly determining rebirth, but it could still be of benefit?
Yeah, correct? Yeah, it'll benefit, yeah. So it'll benefit. So see, in the middle state, no, during that period, no, there'll be a lot of, no, like, things that you see, some of them not might be very, very attractive, not nice, so all kind of wrathful image that you see. So they're just mainly guiding through the part of state. No, they're mainly all the prayers been said during the 49 days, guiding through the part of state. So before that and after this and before part of, there's not much time. So then immediately after you go to Bhardo, so then all the prayers is said, no. Especially family, they're related to their persons, karmically related to their persons. If they do something, it benefits them. So then, you know, particularly possession owned by that person, if you use that possessions to do something good, that will definitely benefit, because the possession belongs to that person. So that's personal positions. My aunt, when she died 2 years ago, I think Richard was there with me in Nepal. So last minute she's doing, you know, she just probably moved up her money. Then she's doing like, she's dying, cannot talk because there's all this for something, all machine. Then she go like this. That means that she can talk, that means she want her money to go to puja, then, you know, prayers. So that's exactly what I did. I didn't took even one penny. So when she lies, she always tells me I have no money. So then I always give her some money. When she died, that's quite a bit of money. especially when you sell her jewelries, no? There's one jewel called C, different jewel. That's very expensive. They say it's like belongs to divine, like has the demigods, no? The higher mountain, you see them like bugs. If you put something dirty, so they don't stay. It's basically like stone. It's not the ocean, so I think Western people are not familiar with that particular precious stone. It's only Tibetan people. They have like white, black, that's like mark, or Z, Z. Yeah, here in one, that's, in Tara, that's a fake one. Tara, so whoever that, I think, I'm not sure, I did. So there's no real one. There's one, is called like, there's like nine eyes, that means like, there's like, looks like eye. If there's nine eyes, that's very, very expensive. So my aunt has one, so then I sell. Right there, somebody bought, probably give 1 million something, they give Nepali rupees, no dollar, someone. So then I, you know, I exactly, so that's why I told that she has two aunts, and I told them, you know, I'm not going to take even one penny, so then probably we should not take anybody should not take anything, so we should spend all the money, just, you know, divided to poor people, monastery, you know. So then before I came, so that's like a couple, probably $30,000 altogether. Before she said, I have no idea. She said she has no money. And most of the money comes from jewelry, you know. Then she has some money here, some money there. And so there's, no, then that will definitely benefit, you know. That will benefit. So that's what she wants to do. Then you use her money to, you know, all that, that benefit, you know. So this is published it after that, you know, published the benefit, okay. Dijeta mujjuya teni gevesin dojin hundi. Tezi mo gomajya gyanu zhenyi rumi. Migi wara tezan dojit. Dijeta mujjuya na chisim zi lungwa zi. Chisim tamjiya lungwa zi. All the mind at death, all the mind, samula, all the mind at death become neutral. Neither non-virtuous nor virtues, it all become, you know, So see, if it's non-virtuous, it's not neutral. If virtue is not neutral, neither non-virtue nor virtues, then it's neutral, you know. So this, but this is my, Zerle, give me some numbers, chisim chepan juwa da, midimasun zoje. Zerle, give me some numbers, chisim chepan juwa da, so there's a lot of debate, so this is no part of last part of this, like a little bit of a debate, so no need to get there. No need to go. So maybe you can read the last part.
Okay. At this point you cannot retrieve the virtue with which you had become familiar, mm-hmm. Nor can others remind you. As the same holds true for non-virtuous minds, all minds of death are ethically neutral after the onset of subtle discrimination.
Medically, they will say, oh, that person is dead. Medical, these people say, that person is dead. Because there's no function, any function, you know. And that's what it means, they couldn't hear anything, you know.
Vasubandhu's Treasury of Knowledge auto commentary says that both virtuous minds and non-virtuous minds are clear and thus incompatible with the cessation of coarse consciousness at death.
Mm-hmm. So there's no different opinions, so. So now then we'll read a little bit here, so good things we are moving down, huh? Something to be happy about, huh? So now to come to us, this also
where he gathers
typically from lower to up. So that's why no death, no. So if you encounter dying person right next to you dying, if you been with a person who's dying, so then you know. This is just not really certain, but there's ways to tell, but no, it's not. Can 100% determine, you know, there's ways to tell all this.
Among those who are currently cultivating non-virtue, consciousness leaves the body, coming down from the upper parts, which become cold first. When it reaches the heart, it leaves the body. The consciousness of someone who is currently cultivating virtue leaves, coming from the lower parts, and the body becomes cold from the lower parts. In both cases, consciousness leaves from the heart. The point at which consciousness first enters the fertilized ovum becomes the body's heart. Consciousness finally leaves the body from where it first entered.
Nothing much to talk. Nothing much to talk. So unless you really want to transfer, maybe that need to be person who's dying there, then you can know. If you really want to see, then you can probably feel. So it's not that important. Important part is gone. This is just some way to tell. Tene kurtagi kurtagi is namche shubha tela luji ninga chushi so. Thama chokan phojin thama chubha inoche. Tene luji to thama ninga so. Tene.
Given that at first the heat of
let's finish this section.
Either descends from the upper parts and gathers in the heart, or ascends from the lower parts and gathers in the heart.
Everything began. Whole life began from heart. It's not heart that you see on Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
it's not that kind of heart. It's not that heart. I'm not sure where that heart is. So the heart, you know, in the center, that's where the life begins. That's where the life, the whole energy begins from there. Then in time of death, this whole energy is going back, dissolved there. So then from there, you know, it's like... So the white drops actually located in the crown chakra, the red drop located in the tip of the chakra in the organ. So when you die, so it comes down, you know, like white comes down, red comes up, it's like size of lantern. Size of lantern comes down, then there's where the consciousness is going to be located, then there's where the consciousness is going to be dissolved. So then, because the force of karma, it kind of turns up, upside down, right go below, right go up. Usually right is coming from below, right is coming from above, like this, right? Now so you have right above this sperm, or maybe red from this sperm, eggs. So that's called white bodhicitta, red bodhicitta. Did you heard about that in the Vajrayana teaching? They talk of white bodhicitta, red bodhicitta, that's what they're talking about, the two drops. So then red coming up, white coming down. So then the force of karma, that is going to be upside down like this. See? So then there the consciousness will probably remain there. So one sign how you can tell whether consciousness or left the body or not, if you see blood from the nose, there's a sign that consciousness is already gone, left the body. So because then like, generally speaking, three days, unless this body is completely, life force is completely exhausted by disease, you know, sicknesses, then more likely consciousness will not remain there 3 days. Other than that, consciousness will remain there 3 days. So then like upside down is later. So then, you know, all of a sudden after that 3 days, then it shakes. For the karma, then consciousness pops. So then, you know, the blood goes shakes, then white goes down, red comes out of nose, then you can say, okay, now you can say the consciousness left. That's frequently people check their nose. So when the red of red comes out, then the country is left. So people could live there many, many times. Sometimes people live there for wrong reason, you know, maybe clinging on, I'm not sure, maybe house or maybe one particular hat or whatever can be said. So then there's special rituals, you know, so then you don't see the then it's very ritual, then you do, then the blood will come right away, something like that. Mm. Yeah. So, thank you. So, we'll stop here. So, so next witness, okay? So, you know, now in the dream, whenever you have dream, nightmare, if you're able to remember, say some mantra, so that's very good. If you remember something, say some mantra or that, that's a good sign, there's no hope. If you can do that in dream, the time of the dead, you know, it will happen. No? So today my mouth is a little uncomfortable because I got, what do you call this, flipper, fake teeth. You can take it out. What do you call? Because my teeth was broke long, last 3 years. It's my teeth, but it's glue there. It's glue, you know. So, it's not because of that. Because my doctor, he's the one who took it out. He's all doing okay, but it's moving. Because long time ago, accidentally somebody threw some stone and hit me here. And I see this whole ground is like going up, but hit. Now I'm just in the group of people there. Somebody threw like this big stone and just hit me. Then my liver is coming like, you know, hanging there. So then that's, you know, like when I was 16, probably then, many, many years. So when the weather get cold, get kind of hurt. But when I came here, so the doctor took my three teeth. He's a wisdom teeth. I never heard, so that he wanted to take out, so that he took those out. So I said, so then this one, he says, eventually it will cause a lot of pain. Then he took it out, so then he glued back. I asked him to glue back, so then he said, he's saying all kinds of, no, just put it back. So then he glued there. So then, you know, like sometime it just comes out. So they have no teeth. So then I put piece of gum, and I just put it there. But it never fall here, during the teaching, never fall down. So, where is the last? Saturday, we have class. When do we have class? Tara or?
Friday?
So, or maybe Tara class or not. It's about to, Saturday is about to fall. I have to verify it because it's just hanging there, you know, so no matter. So then today I went, so that's a little uncomfortable, it's all something. Yeah, anyway, so last, I hold this teeth last 3 years, just glued there. So now it's time to give it up. Okay, anyway, thank you. Have a wonderful night. Huh?